it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. You've heard us talk about downtown regenerating business, attracting expansion, and it has been a bureaucratic mess sometimes getting through the paperwork and what the demands are, and things look like they're changing, or are they? So we're going to go to a man who knows all about this very well. He's a founding partner and CEO, Walnut Capital, Todd Reardbord. Todd, welcome back.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to hear you.
So last time we talked, it seemed like there was going to be movement to try to get some of the projects that you and other developers are working on to, you know, the point where you're breaking ground and making progress. So what is the status today based on what City Council is talking about in Pittsburgh?
Well, you know, things are moving along, but, you know, I just got back from the AI conference in healthcare that Governor Shapiro spoke at Pitt. And he says that we have to move at the speed of business. And that's what the Commonwealth is doing. And that's what the city needs to do. And we just haven't been moving at the speed of business. As we all know, the whole AI revolution that's encompassing the country and the world is accelerated pace. And we need to keep pace with that to be competitive with everybody. And I think that's one thing that we're disappointed in Pittsburgh that we haven't done. And we're optimistic about the future. Now that we have a new mayor coming in and a new administration, they, along with Governor Shapiro, need to know how to move at the speed of business. And when they push back is when you say to them, you know, guys, it's not the 1950s. You know, we need to change things, and we need to increase the pace of development and increase the pace of approvals.
Todd, let's say that you could sit down right now with the incoming mayor, whoever it is, most likely Cory O'Connor, and then tick down a list of three or four things you would like him to do immediately to bring this up to speed, as you say.
Yeah, so one thing that we learned from other states is that it can be a tops down approach. So if the governor you're working with the governor's office on bringing a new business to Pittsburgh, or even existing businesses that want to expand, that you sort of clear the path for everybody. And I think one thing the O'Connor administration can do is sort of work with everybody, work with the state, work with the county, work with PWSA, use all those relationships and make sort of one stop shopping where a developer comes to you and says, we want to get this project done, we want to bring a 500 new jobs to Pittsburgh. Look what EOS is doing now with their new manufacturing plant and new offices on the North Shore. And I know the governor came to Pittsburgh and said, let's get this thing moving. But he needs to have the power to do that through the local and state, local and county governments. And I think now that we have a friendly face in the with the O'Connor administration, who works well with the governor, works well with the county, we can push that forward. I'm all about intergovernmental cooperations. To me, in Pennsylvania, that's what slows us down.
So basically, it's just the paperwork that's taken time. I mean, if you could pinpoint one thing, progress is being hindered by the long, protracted effort to go through that paperwork process.
I also think it's an attitude, to tell you the truth. I think, I mean, there are good people that work in government, but they need leadership from the top that says, let's get going. I mean, I would send them all to the, you know, the Disney School of Customer Service or whatever it's called, you know, where you learn about the customer being first. You learn about how to please the customer. You learn how to make things right. And I just don't think that attitude came from the, you know, the prior administration. I think this administration has a chance to just change the tone and change the attitude. They're good people there. They just need direction and need support to get things done.
Do you see that happening in the O'Connor administration?
I do. I mean, he talks about his, you know, what he's going to do in his first, you know, 100 days. He's going to get a new police chief. He's going to make a deal with the nonprofits, and he's going to do permitting reform, which to me means he's going to move at the speed of business. He's going to take away the bureaucracies that slow things down, and he's going to make things right. And I believe in that. That's what he says on the stump, and I believe it.
That said, share with us some of the projects that you're working on. I know we've highlighted some, but let people know, because as you know, we love to know what's coming next.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously we're under construction now with a large student-oriented apartment building in Oakland. We have two more phases there that we're looking to develop. But we're also working near Bakery Square across from the new Market District of Meridian, where we're going to have a new apartment building there with retail and offices on the first floor. That's one that's been stalled for 2 or 3 years because nobody can make a decision. But we're optimistic now that we've gotten beyond that, and we think we can break ground here this year. And finally, we're working on the south side, new housing there on the old hospital property that hasn't been on the tax rolls for over 100 years. But we need help. I mean, we need help from the city. We need help from the other agencies to get things moving at a quick pace.
Well, appreciate the update, and good luck, Todd.
We appreciate it, Larry. Always good talking to you.
You got it. Todd Reedborn, who is the co-founder, and he's the man at Walnut Capital, and they've been here a long time doing a lot of great work. Bakery Square is probably one that everybody knows.
I think you're touching on an area, and in Oakland itself, where they've been trying to get some things done, and the process of getting something done. He's outlined that for us in the past. It's painstaking. You've got to be one patient, you know, participant to get something done.
How does it make sense that it's been 2 years, as he mentioned in the one project, 2 years just waiting for paperwork and approval? Why would it take 2 years? And then you wonder, there were other things that are going to change now, I guess, that were in the mix. You know, the demands that if you're building something, you have to have this, 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 and this attached to. I mean, yeah. You talk to developers, you listen to Marty. Marty's very in tune with the stakeholders. And they want it to work. We want it to work.
Yeah, we've heard similar descriptions of the process of getting things rolling from Lucas Pyatt.
Yes, that's another good example. Esplanade, you know how long he's been working on that? 10 years. And finally, we believe he'll be breaking ground here in days, not weeks. And this is the 15-acre site along the river, right up from Rivers Casino on the Ohio. That's going to be really a game changer for that. I mean, that's a whole, you're creating a whole new neighborhood, basically, with mixed use, utilizing the river, even a Ferris wheel.
There's going to be residents all over the place.
And that too. Yeah. So things are starting to move. And I guess the hope is with a new mayor, they'll move even. Is a new on-air challenge that we started every Thursday at this time. So, Paul, as you know how it works, we have a Lifeline participant for me. Aaron Ferragoni, our producer, will ask us the questions, and we'll see how smart you are, Total Recall, Paul. You've proven to be quite a challenge. And we have with us Mark Thomas from Scott Township. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Would you consider yourself above average intelligence?
I would say yes. Yes.
Okay. Good to know.
Very confident, yeah.
I like it. So, Mark, you are my lifeline. Either way, you're going to get a Coons Market gift certificate for $25 for at least dialing the phone. Fair enough? Mark? Hello, Mark.
Oh, no. We might have to... Hold on.
Mark, don't go away. Where are you at?
Hello?
Yes, don't go away.
Okay.
All right. Don't be talking to people in the background.
I won't.
Hey, Helen, I'm on that radio show.
Wait,
all right.
Larry, that's perfect because today's theme is Yinzer facts.
Uh-oh.
You know, following Pittsburgh being named on National Geographic's 2026 best places to visit, come on. We're doing Yinzer facts. So here's number one. Larry, you're going first.
Okay.
How many bridges does our city have? Multiple choice. A, 400, B, 466, and C, 446.
Oh, man. Mark, do you know how many bridges we have? Pick A, B, or C.
C.
Paul?
And I agree. Mark's right. C.
He is right.
Yep.
Mark. Awesome. Come on. Awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Question number two. The steepest street in the United States, of course, is here. In Pittsburgh, with an incline of 37 degrees, which neighborhood? Beachview, Breezewood, or Banksville? Paul, you're first.
And what were the choices again?
Beachview, Breezewood, or Banksville?
I'm going Banksville.
Larry?
I concur. Mark?
I was going to say Beachview.
Mark again.
You saved
wow.
me.
Wow. This is amazing.
So really, it's who's smarter than Mark?
Yeah. Today, who's smarter than Mark Thomas? Wow.
All
this
right.
is 2-for-2. Okay. Number 3, what was the original name of our city founded by the British in 1758? This is just an open answer. It's 2.
The original name of the city?
Of our city founded by the British in 1758. Larry, you're first. It's 2 words.
Allegheny City.
Okay, Paul?
Fort Pitt.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, so 2... 2 for Paul, 2 for Larry and Mark.
Oh,
okay.
You mean I got that right?
Yes, you did get that right. Was that a guess?
Yeah.
I was thinking of Andy Masick from the Heinz History Center. He said, Pittsburgh.
No, it literally is Fort Pitt. Well done.
Fort Pitt. That's not the name of the city.
That's what it was.
Oh. Initially, yes.
In 1758.
All right. Mark and I weren't there. Mark.
Yes.
Thanks for participating. You get a... $25 gift certificate to Coons Quality Markets. So thank you for jumping on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Walk tall today, brother. You're smart.
So I got a question now. What's the name of this street in Beachview? Do we know?
Well, I know Rialto Street.
It's Canton Avenue.
Yeah, I just...
Okay, thank you.
I just saw this, so that was a good call.
And you said almost, what, 38 degrees incline?
37, I believe.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, the incline is 37 degrees. Insane.
You know, it's no wonder people like Subarus around these parts. And other all-wheel drive vehicles, right?
Symmetrical all-wheel drive,
yeah.
Mister. They actually came up with it.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Hillgrove. Curious to ask him about a number of things. The Steelers, the 4 alumni that are on the list of potentially being into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I wonder who he thinks is going to make it out of the 4. Well,
Gary Anderson's a kicker, so I'm going to say no. James Harrison, for the career he ended up with, including that 100-yard interception run back for a touchdown in a Super Bowl. Marquise Pouncey, linemen don't get much love, but he certainly is deserving. And then Hines Ward. Why is this man not in the Hall of Fame?
He should be already. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. And by the way, we also got to hear about North Carolina State coming to town. Wonder what he's got to say about the Wolfpack.
Yeah, the Pitt Panthers have a chance to win 4 in a row and get bowl eligible homecoming weekend, 3:30 kick on Saturday. Against the NC State Wolfpack. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers. And also talking about the demand for tickets for this game Sunday night. It's amazing. And Aaron Rodgers loves this city.
I was around Pittsburgh people my entire football career, starting with Mike McCarthy for 13 years. Mike's from Greenfield, you know, and his love for this city and how he talked about it and playing with Dom Capers on the staff and Darren Perry and Kevin Green and Ben McAdoo in my room and Frank Signetti and Luke Getsy, Alex Van Pelt, you know, a lot of people from this area. So I knew a lot about it just from talking to those guys. I knew what a great sports town it is, what a great tradition the Steelers have, and that was definitely a part of it. But like I said, Mike T was the first reason.
Mike T, that would be Coach Tomlin. They had a kind of a relationship.
You could tell they already had a lot of respect for each other. Yeah.
They did. And later you're going to hear about their visit to the Penguin game Tuesday night with Aaron Rodgers and a whole group of the offensive line.
I love what he had to say about hanging out in the box with the guys.
Yeah, and he said Marion Lemieux's bodyguard, Jay Caulfield, he met him. Conversation with the good Dr. Mike Hutchinson of Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. You can see Dr. Mike on our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company and on our KDK Radio YouTube page. Good morning, Dr. Mike.
Good morning. How's it going today?
Good. So far, so good. It feels like Thursday.
Excellent.
And we have some questions for you. Obviously, we love when people, and by the way, If you want to email questions, you can do that with our instant access at kdkradio.com. We'll make sure Dr. Mike gets them. From Wexford, Jamie wants to know, Dr. Mike, we love making soup in autumn. Are there safe soup ingredients we can share with our dog, or should we stick to his regular diet?
Well, I don't think I've ever had that question before. Yeah, so soup is safe. You just don't want all the spices. The spices can be extremely toxic. We've talked about nutmeg, things like that before, which can cause even paralysis in dogs. So leave out the salt, leave out the spices. I mean, sweet potatoes, pumpkin, carrots, most of the vegetables, no onions, of course. And you know, use it as a treat, not as their replacement for their meal. And that would be okay. I mean, good question.
Dr. Mike, Brian in Mount Lebanon wants to know about these chilly mornings and whether his dog needs a jacket for walks, or can most pets handle the cooler weather, and for how long, by the way?
You know, as soon as it gets, you know, we keep our dogs indoors, so they don't always get their winter coats that would keep them warm. The dogs that are outside get these winter coats, so they're fine. But the short-haired dogs, the older dogs, maybe younger dogs, any of the sensitive dogs that shiver a lot, once you get under 45 degrees, they probably would appreciate it if you gave them some extra layers. I know my one son has a pit bull that was raised in Florida, and that dog's shivering when it's 50 out, so I think you just judge it by the dog, and yes, it would be a good idea. And as it gets colder, don't leave them outside too long.
From Edgewood, Kelly wants to know, is it safe for the dogs? You mentioned some of the ingredients of soup. How about sweet potatoes or squash? And if so, how should we prepare them special for the pets?
Well, even pumpkin would be okay too, but make sure you boil them or broil them or however you cook and bake them. You just want to make sure that they're cooked, because raw potatoes, you want to be careful. I mean, raw carrots are okay, but, you know, maybe broccoli, but raw potatoes can be a choking hazard. So make sure you boil them. That's how I prepare them, or bake them. And you could share that. But again, not more than 10% of the diet should come from treats or things like that. I know some people cook diets for their pets. They include these things almost every day, which I applaud them for their effort, because that would be a tedious thing to have to cook for the dogs every day. So,
we have a bonus question for you this morning from Matt in Moon. He's asking about Halloween being close by now, and he's wondering about scented decorations or...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Candles and their dangers to pets in the house.
You know.
Oh, Dr. Mike froze for a second. Hopefully he'll unfreeze. He froze with his face. He looked like he saw a ghost. Speaking of Halloween. We'll get Dr. Mike back, and we have a double bonus question, too.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. Pat Septak, our news editor, has one. I think it's really odd. All right, we'll get Dr. Mike back on. By the way, he does this from his home, and it's always cool to see which hat he picks. He's got a Steeler hat on.
Usually it's a Steelers hat, more often than not.
Yeah, he's had Pirates, he's had... what's the other one he wears? He also has the fireplace in the background. So sometimes when we're talking to him, you see the dogs moving back and forth in the background.
I wish he would light the fireplace more for this segment. It would be even better looking, because it's a nice looking, very inviting looking fireplace area. Getting back to the coats for dogs question, by the way, I went back and forth on that with my short hair dachshund. Not only was she close down to the ground, I wanted to protect her, you know, her chest, but also you know, she just didn't really care for cold weather. And there are some dogs, I do believe there are breeds, that it's really better to get them a coat. I was kind of embarrassed to do it at first because I didn't want to be the guy in the neighborhood. Oh, look, there's the guy who dresses his dog up.
Yeah,
you know,
Dr.
I didn't
Mike's
want that
back.
To be the case. So.
Yeah, you've seen that, Doc.
Oh, yeah, that's a guy thing. I mean, we shouldn't worry about that. But they're I think that's a wonderful breed to, you know, give some extra layers to a short-haired dachshund because, I'm sure, you know, they're tough dogs, but when you get out there and it's cold.
Speaking of cold, Doc froze again. Can you just get him on the phone real quick? Because I want to get an answer to that question. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, we're trying to find out what he thinks about scented decorations and candles and whether they're dangerous for pets when they're around the house.
Yeah, and intermittently, if you're listening off our air signal, for some reason it's coming in and out too, we're hearing. So we have our engineering team working on that right now. But you can also, if you have the Odyssey app, you can listen on our app or online, kdkradio.com. So we got, now you can't reach him on the phone. There he is. Oh, he's back on video. All right, let's hurry up and get an answer. What was the last question?
Oh, the question about scented decorations and candles. Are they dangerous around Halloween time?
Yes, they are dangerous, and a lot of fires are caused by dogs and cats knocking them over. So be very careful. I saw a statistic. It's really high. It's unusually high, caused by the animals. So be aware. I would actually recommend avoiding it, but my wife doesn't listen to that. So we just have to be very, very careful when we're, and they don't like citrus, cinnamon, and clove. Those can be very strong in their airways. They have very sensitive noses. So, you know, be aware of that too. Make sure there's plenty of fresh air.
All right. We're going to try to squeeze in a double bonus question. The new Bravecto Quantum once a year injection that just hit the market. This is for flea and ticks as, yeah. NexGard Plus monthly pills. So is this new once-a-year injection? How do you say it, Doc?
It's the Bravecto, but what happens is with that once-a-year injection, that got released around the world at the same time. So I don't have any data on it. I don't have the field trials yet. You know, once you get it out in the field and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dogs get it, I can give you great advice on it. But right now I'm sitting back and watching because I don't know. I like the idea for some pets because it would make it convenient, and I hate fleas and ticks, but I'm going to sit back and watch that for a while, and I'll let you know.
Doc, always a pleasure. Appreciate you battling through here. We love the Steeler hat for the Packers game Sunday night. I know you'll be watching.
Yes, go Steelers.
All right. The great Dr. Mike Hutchinson. Go to animalgeneral.net. We have a link at kdkradio.com.
Of the federal government shutdown.
We must keep our government open. And if somebody wants to primary me or the party wants to vote me out, it's like I'm going to go down being honest and telling you that this is wrong.
Regardless of how you feel about John Fetterman, you do have to get him credit for all the things he's battled through, and he's facing a lot of criticism for bucking the system. But as he says, he doesn't care. He's going to do what he feels is right. And if you voted for him, that's what he told you he'd do.
Yeah, that interview last night on Fox News. Michael Keaton's name is spelled wrong on his Walk of Fame plaque. It's not in his name on the star. It's the first name in the description, which is spelled M-I-C-H-E-A-L.
You mean it's spelled different?
Larry,
you know how many times...
I have to back up and respell Michael often.
Right.
Because I look at it and go, no, that's not right.
I've done the same thing with that same word. You know, Michael, I know a lot of Michaels. So you're texting it or tapping it on a keyboard.
You know, speaking of first names that have a tricky spelling as well, what about Aaron for Aaron Rodgers, right?
A-A.
Yeah, A-A, double A, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, sports reporters asked him if Sunday night will be a revenge game against Green Bay, and he said, no, but it is special.
There's only a few of those kind of cornerstone franchises in the league, and Packers obviously been around for over 100 years, and Steelers been around for a long time. We've got a great history.
Yeah, and he basically said, I love my time with the Packers. I grew up there in Green Bay, and then went on to say that he gave the fan base there great love, as he should.
And in that same scrum with the media, he talked about hanging out with the guys up in the box at the Penguins game.
Yeah, you want to hear that?
Yeah.
I think it's worth listening to, because it really helps you understand where Aaron Rodgers is and how he has a true sense of this community.
It's a great sports town. We were at the hockey game last night, saw Sid score a goal, and, you know, Sid, Letang, and Gino all been in on the team, I think, 21 years, which is amazing. I'm in my 21st season, so I know how hard it is to stick around as long as those guys have. So there's something special about the connection. You know, I'm in the suite with Mario's, you know, bodyguard Jay up there. Had a great conversation with him. Kiesel's in there as well. I played against Kiesel. That's one of the cool things that Kiesel and I were talking about last night, how in Green Bay and in Pittsburgh, there's iconic players, and they come back around, and they live in the city, and they call Pittsburgh home full time. And there's something special about that. Always said there's something in the water when you look at the great quarterbacks that have come from the area. But it's fun to be a part of this organization and the iconic Packers organization for so long, too.
When he says that, he's talking about six Hall of Fame quarterbacks in southwestern Pennsylvania, and that is far greater than any other region. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers himself will be one of them 5 years after he retires.
And you know what popped up for me when he talked about the athletes that love it here and then make their living here, you know, decide to stay here? First thing that popped to mind for some reason was Jason Grilley.
Yeah, that's a great example. Jason was a fan favorite here, and part of the excitement with Clint Hurdle and bringing the playoffs 3 years in a row back to the Berg. We're going to talk to Bill Hillgrove about a lot of things right after the news at 8, and looking forward to that conversation. Also, you're going to hear Aaron Rodgers talk about being tackled by his own offensive lineman. Wait till you hear this. Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. You've heard us talk about downtown regenerating business, attracting, expansion, and it has been a bureaucratic mess sometimes getting through the paperwork and what the demands are, and things look like they're changing, or are they? So we're going to go to a man who knows all about this very well. He's a founding partner and CEO, Walnut Capital, Todd Reardbord. Todd, welcome back.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to hear you.
So last time we talked, it seemed like there was going to be movement to try to get some of the projects that you and other developers are working on to, you know, the point where you're breaking ground and making progress. So what is the status today based on what City Council is talking about in Pittsburgh?
Well, you know, things are moving along, but, you know, I just got back from the AI conference in healthcare that Governor Shapiro spoke at Pitt. And he says that we have to move at the speed of business. And that's what the Commonwealth is doing. And that's what the city needs to do. And we just haven't been moving at the speed of business. As we all know, the whole AI revolution that's encompassing the country and the world is accelerated pace. And we need to keep pace with that to be competitive with everybody. And I think that's one thing that we're disappointed in Pittsburgh that we haven't done. And we're optimistic about the future. Now that we have a new mayor coming in and a new administration, they, along with Governor Shapiro, need to know how to move at the speed of business. And when they push back is when you say to them, you know, guys, it's not the 1950s. You know, we need to change things, and we need to increase the pace of development and increase the pace of approvals.
Todd, let's say that you could sit down right now with the incoming mayor, whoever it is, most likely Corey O'Connor, and then tick down a list of three or four things you would like him to do immediately to bring this up to speed, as you say.
Yeah, so one thing that we learned from other states is that it can be a top-down approach. So if the governor you're working with the governor's office on bringing a new business to Pittsburgh, or even existing businesses that want to expand, that you sort of clear the path for everybody. And I think one thing the O'Connor administration can do is sort of work with everybody, work with the state, work with the county, work with PWSA, use all those relationships and make sort of one-stop shopping where a developer comes to you and says, we want to get this project done, we want to bring a 500 new jobs to Pittsburgh. Look what EOS is doing now with their new manufacturing plant and new offices on the North Shore. And I know the governor came to Pittsburgh and said, let's get this thing moving. But he needs to have the power to do that. through the local and state, local and county governments. And I think now that we have a friendly face in the with the O'Connor administration, who works well with the governor, works well with the county, we can push that forward. I'm all about intergovernmental cooperation. To me, in Pennsylvania, that's what slows us down.
So basically, it's just the paperwork that's taken time. I mean, if you could pinpoint one thing, progress is being hindered by the long, protracted effort to go through that paperwork process.
I also think it's an attitude, to tell you the truth. I think, I mean, there are good people that work in government, but they need leadership from the top that says, let's get going. I mean, I would send them all to the, you know, the Disney School of Customer Service or whatever it's called, you know, where you learn about the customer being first. You learn about how to please the customer. You learn how to make things right. And I just don't think that attitude is came from the, you know, the prior administration. I think this administration has a chance to just change the tone and change the attitude. There are good people there. They just need direction and need support to get things done.
Do you see that happening in the O'Connor administration?
I do. I mean, he talks about his, you know, what he's going to do in his first, you know, 100 days. He's going to get a new police chief. He's going to make a deal with the nonprofits, and he's going to do permitting reform, which to me means he's going to move at the speed of business. He's going to take away the bureaucracies that have slowed things down, and he's going to make things right. And I believe in that. That's what he says on the stump, and I believe it.
That said, share with us some of the projects that you're working on. I know we've highlighted some, but let people know, because, as you know, we love to know what's coming next.
Yeah. So obviously we're under construction now with a large student oriented apartment building in Oakland. We have two more phases there that we're looking to develop. But we're also working near Bakery Square across from the new Market District of Meridian, where we're going to have a new apartment building there with retail and offices on the first floor. That's one that's been stalled for 2 or 3 years because nobody can make a decision. But we're optimistic now that we've gotten beyond that, and we think we can break ground here this year. And finally, we're working on the south side, new housing there on the old hospital property that hasn't been on the tax rolls for over 100 years. But we need help. I mean, we need help from the city. We need help from the other agencies to get things moving at a quick pace.
Well, appreciate the update, and good luck, Todd.
We appreciate it, Larry. Always good talking to you.
You got it. Todd Reedborn, who is the co-founder and he's the man at Walnut Capital, and they've been here a long time doing a lot of great work. Bakery Square is probably one that everybody knows.
I think you're touching on an area, and in Oakland itself, where they've been trying to get some things done, and the process of getting something done. He's outlined that for us in the past. It's painstaking. You've got to be one patient, you know, participant to get something done.
How does it make sense that it's been 2 years, as he mentioned in the one project, 2 years just waiting for paperwork and approval? Why would it take 2 years? And then you wonder, there were other things that are going to change now, I guess, that were in the mix. You know, the demands that if you're building something, you have to have this, 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 and this attached to. I mean, you talk to developers, you listen to Marty. Marty's very in tune with the stakeholders. And they want it to work. We want it to work.
And we've heard similar descriptions of the process of getting things rolling from Lucas Pyatt.
Yes, that's another good example. Esplanade, you know how long he's been working on that? 10 years. And finally, we believe he'll be breaking ground here in days, not weeks. And this is the 15-acre site along the river, right up from Rivers Casino on the Ohio. That's going to be really a game changer for that. I mean, that's a whole, you're creating a whole new neighborhood, basically, with mixed use, utilizing the river, even a Ferris wheel.
There's going to be residents all over the place.
And that too. Yeah. So things are starting to move. And I guess the hope is with a new mayor, they'll move even quicker. Started every Thursday at this time. So, Paul, as you know how it works, we have a Lifeline participant for me. Aaron Ferragoni, our producer, will ask us the questions, and we'll see how smart you are, Total Recall, Paul. You've proven to be quite a challenge. And we have with us Mark Thomas from Scott Township. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Would you consider yourself above average intelligence?
I would say yes. Yes.
Okay. Good to
Very
know.
Very confident, yeah.
I like it. So, Mark, you are my lifeline. Either way, you're going to get a Coons Market gift certificate for $25 for at least dialing the phone. Fair enough? Mark? Hello, Mark.
Oh, no. We might have to hold on.
Mark, don't go away. Where are you at?
Hello?
Yes, don't go away.
Okay.
All right. Don't be talking to people in the background.
I won't.
Hey, Helen, I'm on that radio show.
Wait,
all right.
Larry, that's perfect because today's theme is Yinzer facts.
Uh-oh.
You know, following Pittsburgh being named on National Geographic's 2026 best places to visit, come on. We're doing Yinzer facts. So here's number one. Larry, you're going first.
Okay.
How many bridges does our city have? Multiple choice. A, 400. B, 466. And C, 446.
Oh, man. Mark, do you know how many bridges we have? Pick A, B, or C.
C.
Paul?
And I agree. Mark's right. C.
He is right.
Yep.
Mark. Awesome. Come on, that's awesome. Okay, question number two. The steepest street in the United States, of course, is here in Pittsburgh with an incline of 37 degrees. Which neighborhood? Beachview, Breezewood, or Banksville? Paul, you're first.
And what were the choices again?
Beachview, Breezewood, or Banksville?
I'm going Banksville.
Larry?
I concur. Mark?
I was going to say Beachview.
Mark again.
You saved
me.
Wow.
This is amazing.
So really, it's who's smarter than Mark?
Yeah.
This morning.
Today, who's smarter than Mark Thomas? Wow.
All
this
right.
is two for two. Okay. Number three, what was the original name of our city founded by the British in 1758? This is just an open answer. It's two.
The original name of the city.
Of our city, founded by the British in 1758. Larry, you're first. It's two words.
Allegheny City.
Okay, Paul.
Fort Pitt.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, so two for Paul, two for Larry and Mark.
Oh,
okay.
You mean I got that right?
Yes, you did get that right. Was that a guess?
Yeah.
I was thinking of Andy Masick from the Heinz History Center. We said Pittsburgh.
No, it literally is Fort Pitt. Well done.
Fort Pitt. That's not the name of the city.
That's what it was.
Oh. Initially, yes.
In 1758.
All right. Mark and I weren't there. Mark.
Yes.
Thanks for participating. You get a $25 gift certificate to Coons Quality Markets. So thank you for jumping on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Walk tall today, brother. You're smart.
So I got a question now. What's the name of this street in Beachview? Do we know?
Well, I know Rialto Street.
It's Canton Avenue.
Yeah, I just...
Okay, thank you.
I just saw this, so that was a good...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. And you said almost, what, 38 degrees incline?
37, I believe.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, the incline is 37 degrees. Insane.
You know, it's no wonder people like Subarus around these parts. And other all-wheel drive vehicles, right?
Symmetrical all-wheel drive, yeah. Mister. They actually came up with it.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Hillgrove. Curious to ask him about a number of things. The Steelers, the four alumni that are on the list of potentially being into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I wonder who he thinks is going to make it out of the four. Well,
Gary Anderson's a kicker, so I'm going to say no. James Harrison, for the career he ended up with, including that 100-yard interception run back for a touchdown in a Super Bowl. Marquise Pouncey, linemen don't get much love, but he certainly is deserving. And then Hines Ward. Why is this man not in the Hall of Fame?
He should be already. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. And by the way, we also got to hear about North Carolina State coming to town. Wonder what he's got to say about the Wolfpack.
Yeah, the Pitt Panthers have a chance to win four in a row and get bowl eligible homecoming weekend, 3:30 kick on Saturday against the NC State Wolfpack. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers, and also talking about the demand for tickets for this game Sunday night. It's amazing. And Aaron Rodgers loves this city.
I was around Pittsburgh people my entire football career, starting with Mike McCarthy for 13 years. Mike's from Greenfield, you know, and his love for this city and how he talked about it and playing with Dom Capers on the staff and Darren Perry and Kevin Green and Ben McAdoo in my room and Frank Cignetti and Luke Getsy, Alex Van Pelt, you know, a lot of people from this area. So I knew a lot about it just from talking to those guys. I knew what a great sports town it is, what a great tradition the Steelers have, and that was definitely a part of it. But like I said, Mike T was the first reason.
Mike T, that would be Coach Tomlin. They had a kind of a relationship.
You could tell they already had a lot of respect for each other. Yeah.
They did. And later you're going to hear about their visit to the Penguin game Tuesday night with Aaron Rodgers and a whole group of the offensive line.
I love what he had to say about hanging out in the box with the guys.
Yeah, and he said Marion Lemieux's bodyguard, Jay Caulfield, he met him. It is the Big K Morning Show, and every Thursday at this time, we look forward to our conversation with the good Dr. Mike Hutchinson of Animal General, LaSalle Plaza and Cranberry. You can see Dr. Mike on our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company, and on our KDK Radio YouTube page. Good morning, Dr. Mike.
Good morning. How's it going today?
Good. So far, so good. It feels like Thursday.
Excellent.
And we have some questions for you. Obviously, we love when people, and by the way, if you want to email questions, you can do that with our instant access at kdkradio.com. We'll make sure Dr. Mike gets them. From Wexford, Jamie wants to know, Dr. Mike, we love making soup in autumn. Are there safe soup ingredients we can share with our dog, or should we stick to his regular diet?
Well, I don't think I've ever had that question before. Yeah, so soup is safe. You just don't want all the spices. The spices can be extremely toxic. We've talked about nutmeg, things like that before, which can cause even paralysis in dogs. So leave out the salt, leave out the spices. I mean, sweet potatoes, pumpkin, carrots, most of the vegetables, no onions, of course. And you know, use it as a treat, not as their replacement for their meal. And that would be okay. I mean, good question.
Dr. Mike, Brian in Mount Lebanon wants to know about these chilly mornings and whether his dog needs a jacket for walks, or can most pets handle the cooler weather, and for how long, by the way?
You know, as soon as it gets, you know, we keep our dogs indoors, so they don't always get their winter coats that would keep them warm. The dogs that are outside get these winter coats, so they're fine. But the short-haired dogs, the older dogs, maybe younger dogs, any of the sensitive dogs that shiver a lot, once you get under 45 degrees, they probably would appreciate if you gave them some extra layers. I know my one son has a pit bull that was raised in Florida, and that dog's shivering when it's 50 out, so I think you just judge it by the dog, and yes, it would be a good idea. And as it gets colder, don't leave them outside too long.
From Edgewood, Kelly wants to know, is it safe for the dogs? You mentioned some of the ingredients of soup. How about sweet potatoes or squash? And if so, how should we prepare them special for the pets?
Well, even pumpkin would be okay too, but make sure you boil them or broil them or however you cook and bake them. You just want to make sure that they're cooked, because raw potatoes, you want to be careful. I mean, raw carrots are okay, but, you know, maybe broccoli, but raw potatoes can be a choking hazard. So make sure you boil them. That's how I prepare them, or bake them. And you could share that. But again, not more than 10% of the diet should come from treats or things like that. I know some people cook diets for their pets. They include these things almost every day, which I applaud them for their effort, because that would be a tedious thing to have to cook for the dogs every day.
So. We have a bonus question for you this morning from Matt in Moon. He's asking about Halloween being close by now, and he's wondering about scented decorations or candles and their dangers to pets in the house.
You know,
Dr. Mike froze for a second. Hopefully he'll unfreeze. He froze with his face. He looked like he saw a ghost. Speaking of Halloween, we'll get Dr. Mike back, and we have a double bonus question, too.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. Pat Septak, our news editor, has one. I think it's really odd. All right, we'll get Dr. Mike back on. By the way, he does this from his home, and it's always cool to see which hat he picks. He's got a Steeler hat on.
Usually it's a Steelers hat, more often than not.
Yeah, he's had Pirates. He's had, what's the other one he wears? He also has the fireplace in the background. So sometimes when we're talking to him, you see the dogs moving back and forth in the background.
I wish he would light the fireplace more for the segment. It would be even better looking, because it's a nice looking, very inviting looking fireplace area. Getting back to the coats for dogs question, by the way, I went back and forth on that with my short hair dachshund. Not only was she close down to the ground, I wanted to protect her, you know, her chest, but also, you know, she just didn't really care for cold weather. And there are some dogs, I do believe there are breeds, that it's really better to get them a coat. I was kind of embarrassed to do it at first because I didn't want to be the guy in the neighborhood. Oh, look, there's the guy who dresses his dog up.
Yeah,
you know,
Dr.
I didn't
Mike's
want that
back.
To be the case. So.
Yeah, you've seen that, Doc.
Oh, yeah, that's a guy thing. I mean, we shouldn't worry about that. But they're, I think that's a wonderful breed to, you know, give some extra layers to a short-haired dachshund, because, I'm sure, you know, they're tough dogs, but when you get out there and it's cold.
Speaking of cold, Doc froze again. Can you just get him on the phone real quick? Because I want to get an answer to that question. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, we're trying to find out what he thinks about scented decorations and candles and whether they're dangerous for pets when they're around the house.
Yeah, and intermittently, if you're listening off our air signal, some reason it's coming in and out too, we're here. And so we have our engineering team working on that right now. But you can also, if you have the Odyssey app, you can listen on our app or online, kdkradio.com. So we got, now you can't reach him on the phone. There he is. Oh, he's back on video. All right, let's hurry up and get an answer. What was the last question?
Oh, the question about scented decorations and candles. Are they dangerous around Halloween time?
Yes, they are dangerous, and a lot of fires are caused by dogs and cats knocking them over, so be very careful. I saw a statistic. It's really high. It's unusually high, caused by the animals, so be aware. I would actually recommend avoiding it, but my wife doesn't listen to that, so we just have to be very, very careful when we're, and they don't like citrus, cinnamon, and clove. Those can be very strong in their airways. They have very sensitive noses, so, you know, be aware of that too. Make sure there's plenty of fresh air.
All right, we're going to try to squeeze in a double bonus question. The new Bravecto Quantum once-a-year injection that just hit the market, this is for flea and ticks as NexGard Plus monthly pills. So is this new once-a-year injection? How do you say it, Doc?
It's the Bravecto, but what happens is with that once-a-year injection, that got released around the world at the same time. So I don't have any data on it. I don't have the field trials yet. You know, once you get it out in the field and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dogs get it, I can give you great advice on it. But right now I'm sitting back and watching because I don't know. I like the idea for some pets because it would make it convenient, and I hate fleas and ticks. But I'm going to sit back and watch that for a while, and I'll let you know.
Doc, always a pleasure. Appreciate you battling through here. We love the Steeler hat for the Packers game Sunday night. I know you'll be watching.
Yes, go Steelers.
All right. The great Dr. Mike Hutchinson. Go to animalgeneral.net. We have a link at kdkradio.com.
The federal government shutdown.
We must keep our government open. And if somebody wants to primary me or the party wants to vote me out, it's like I'm going to go down being honest and telling you that this is wrong.
Regardless of how you feel about John Fetterman, you do have to get him credit for all the things he's battled through, and he's facing a lot of criticism for bucking the system. But as he says, he doesn't care. He's going to do what he feels is right. And if you voted for him, that's what he told you he'd do.
Yeah, in that interview last night on Fox News, Michael Keaton's name is spelled wrong on what? His Walk of Fame plaque. It's not in his name on the star. It's the first name in the description, which is spelled M-I-C-H-E-A-L.
You mean it's spelled different? You know how many times...
I have to back up and respell Michael often.
Right.
Because I look at it and go, no, that's not right.
I've done the same thing with that same word. You know, Michael, I know a lot of Michaels. So you're texting it or tapping it on a keyboard.
You know, speaking of first names that have a tricky spelling as well, what about Aaron for Aaron Rodgers, right?
A-A.
Yeah, A-A, double A, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, sports reporters asked him if Sunday night will be a revenge game against Green Bay, and he said, no, but it is special.
There's only a few of those kind of cornerstone franchises in the league, and Packers obviously been around for over 100 years, and Steelers been around for a long time. We've got a great history.
Yeah, and he basically said, I love my time with the Packers. I grew up there in Green Bay, and then went on to say that he gave the fan base there great love, as he should.
And in that same scrum with the media, he talked about hanging out with the guys up in the box at the Penguins game.
Yeah, you want to hear that?
Yeah.
I think it's worth listening to because it really helps you understand where Aaron Rodgers is and how he has a true sense of this community.
It's a great sports town. We were at the hockey game last night, saw Sid score a goal, and, you know, Sid, Letang, and Gino all been in on the team, I think, 21 years, which is amazing. I'm in my 21st season, so I know how hard it is to stick around as long as those guys have. So there's something special about the connection. You know, I'm in the suite with Mario's, you know, bodyguard Jay up there. Had a great conversation with him. Kiesel's in there as well. I played against Kiesel. That's one of the cool things that Kiesel and I were talking about last night, how in Green Bay and in Pittsburgh there's iconic players, and they come back around, and they live in the city, and they call Pittsburgh home full time. And there's something special about that. Always said there's something in the water when you look at the great quarterbacks that have come from the area. But it's fun to be a part of this organization and the iconic Packers organization for so long, too.
When he says that, he's talking about six Hall of Fame quarterbacks in southwestern Pennsylvania, and that is far greater than any other region. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers himself will be one of them 5 years after he retires.
And you know what popped up for me when he talked about the athletes that love it here and then make their living here, you know, decide to stay here? First thing that popped to mind for some reason was Jason Grilley.
Yeah, that's a great example. Jason was a fan favorite here and part of the excitement with Clint Hurdle and bringing the playoffs 3 years in a row back to the Berg. We're going to talk to Bill Hillgrove about a lot of things right after the news at 8 and looking forward to that conversation. Also, you're going to hear Aaron Rodgers talk about being tackled by his own offensive lineman. Wait till you hear this. Sunday night, Acrisure Stadium. The Pittsburgh Steelers host the Green Bay Packers. This game is getting a lot of buzz, Paul, from around the nation. Many are calling it one of the best games of the season already.
And it's in a great spotlight at primetime Sunday night.
And joining us, Hall of Fame broadcaster, Bill Hillgrove. William, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How goes it?
It goes good. We want to start with the story, obviously. The storyline in the NFL is this matchup Sunday night. But first, I'm sure you watched the game last Thursday night, correct?
Yes, of course.
And you saw after Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown, he was tackled by his own lineman, right?
Roderick Jones, I witnessed that, and he got an earful from the quarterback.
Well, here's what happened after, and what you don't see on the video. They asked Aaron Rodgers about that yesterday. You're going to love his answer. Hear how he handles this.
It was right after the throw. He's coming over to me and shaking me and shaking me. And like I text him, I said, hey, man, I love your energy. I love everything you're about. But also, I'm 41. Okay? You can't be out there tackling me like that. But I love Brad. We had a couple laughs about it. And, I told him I'm getting him next. You better watch his back.
I'll get you next. You better watch your back. How wonderfully to handle that question, right?
I think so. And, the more I witness what Rodgers means to this team, the more I like him. And I must admit that when it appeared that he wasn't sure he wanted to play this year, I felt like saying to the Steelers, move on, get somebody else. But I think they had their designs on him the whole time. I think he wanted to play the whole time. And, everything he's said and everything he's done has pointed to the fact that he's a leader. He's showing you his experience. And what I like about him is he'll holler at veterans. And he'll also pat the young players on the back. And it didn't look like a pat on the back to Broderick Jones, but I'm sure as teammates, they handled it as well as they could.
I was thinking to myself, they're trying every which way to back him into a corner about, is this a revenge game against the Packers? And, of course, he disarmed that question by saying, no, I love the Green Bay Packers, and I love the fan base, and I'm going to win this game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which, by the way, if he's able to do, he'd only be the fifth quarterback in history to have a win against all 32 teams, which is kind of amazing.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In and of itself.
Wow. Yeah, that is amazing. And I think, I think that's the proper mindset. And I've heard Mike Tomlin talk about it. People will bring up history, and you can't ignore history, but then also you can't let it define you. And what happened last year or in the past really means nothing about and its effect on this game. And I think they got to handle the Green Bay Packers. They got to worry about Micah Parsons. They've got to worry about a pretty good quarterback. It's in front of them. It's not behind them.
Bill, how do you see the game unfolding on Sunday night?
Don't ask me about how I view things, because I'll bring up my past history of, for instance, I picked the Germans in two world wars, and I've said that many times. It's hard to predict how a game is going to go. I've always believed that every game takes on its own life, its own identity. And that's what I liked about doing the Steelers for those 30 years is that, every game took me on a magic carpet ride. I didn't know where it was going or how rough the ride would be. But that's part of the challenge and part of the fun. But I was a little surprised that the Packers are a favorite coming in here. Everybody's placing a lot on the loss to Cincinnati. And, okay, there were failures on the Steelers' part. I think the biggest failure was to stop the run, which allowed Joe Flacco to just kind of relax and run the show with those great receivers. And we didn't put any pressure on him. And I think you put pressure on him by stopping the run, and I think that's what they've got to do first of all. So let's see if that improves.
We're with Bill Hillgrove. Question, Bill, four finalists, from the Steelers organization for – this year's NFL Hall of Fame, Gary Anderson, a kicker, Marquise Pouncey, a center, James Harrison, linebacker, and Hines Ward. Why do they not allow Hines Ward to be inducted into the Hall of Fame? Why does he keep getting passed over? His numbers would suggest he should be in.
Yeah, you know, I think over the course of history, because of the great success of the Steelers in the 70s, there's a lot of jealousy with the rest of the league. And as soon as the Steelers bring up a candidate, oh, no, too many Steelers in the Hall of Fame. And I think to a degree they've kept one another out in that regard. You know, as soon as a candidate like Hines surfaces and is mentioned, the people in Dallas start gnashing of teeth and wailing. And you know, I just think that's the unfortunate political part of what goes on with the Hall of Fame. But I really do believe that Steelers keep Steelers out. And it's just a fact, and it has to be overcome.
Bill, what about Saturday afternoon? I'm really looking forward to the game on Saturday afternoon. Pitt is hosting North Carolina State.
I think, first of all, I look at plus-minus. Pitt is even on the season, as many takeaways as turnovers. NC State is -4. That's telling me something about, you know, their productivity, especially, you know, their productivity on defense. Although they've got two good defensive ends, and I think Pat Narduzzi addressed that earlier in the week, and they've got on offense Hollywood Smothers, as good a running back as they'll face. C.J. Bailey has probably the second best official pass efficiency in the conference, although Mason Heinschel's a little bit better but doesn't have enough reps to qualify for that, at least in the league standing. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup. Interestingly, the folks in Vegas opened it at 7.5, and it quickly went to 6.5, and that's what the Panthers are favored by entering the game on Saturday. So it'll be fun to watch. It'll be an ACC special, and, hey, you got to lace them up tight every night. I think that league this year is really balanced, especially at the top. You know, so many teams still have a chance to get to the championship game. And, you know, if not, you know, if you don't get that far, you're still going to get a much better bowl positioning if you keep building and stacking wins. And I think that's what Narduzzi and company have to do.
And Coach Pat Narduzzi does concur with you, suggesting that the ACC parity and is as tough a conference as any, with a lot of talent, that any team can beat any team in the ACC on any given day. We've certainly seen that. Homecoming Saturday at Acrisure Stadium. Bill Hillgrove and I will be on the air with Pat Bostic coming up 1:30 is airtime on 93.7 The Fan, the flagship for the Panthers. All right, Bill, thank you. Enjoy the weekend. I'll see you Saturday.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure, and H2P.
Tim Myra Rush in studio from our newsroom.
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. What's
good morning.
Trending tea?
Bon Jovi.
You mean?
Everybody, every drunk at the bar song, everybody gets hyped for John Bon Jovi.
Especially this song. And by the way.
Yes, this is an absolute bar song. Go.
First big video was shot at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I did not know that. Let's go. Oh, halfway there. Oh, living on a prayer.
Look at Aaron. All right, I'm sorry. I got distracted.
That's awesome. That'll make you feel good.
Yeah.
I saw that. I said, we definitely have to do this. This is great. He recovered from vocal cord surgery.
Yeah, he's been out of the circuit for a long time.
2026, he's coming.
And you know who's a huge John Bon Jovi fan? She's seen multiple shows.
Who's that?
Our former traffic star, Kathy Bergeron.
Oh!
All crazy in
love. She's coming. She's bringing it.
I got to text her. Say, oh my Bon Jovi is back.
Oh, my God. That's great.
I met him once at Star Lake, and we took him a guitar that was a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, introduce my wife as Dan Marino's sister, and he goes, "Oh, I talked to your brother. I told him, don't do that movie, Ace Ventura. It's stupid."
Aww.
This is before it came out, because they had asked Bon Jovi to be in it.
Get out!
Bon Jovi was supposed to be the Tone look.
Yeah.
His character. And he's telling him, don't do the movie. It's going to be a bomb.
Aww.
John was wrong.
Oh, he was very wrong. But the tour dates and venues, Madison Square Garden, a couple of days.
And where are we? Are we on that list?
Dublin, Ireland.
What?
London, Edinburgh, UK. Yes. I don't know. You guys are going to have to pack your things up and make your way up to New York City, to Madison Square Garden. This is great. I like John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, he's they've been very popular.
Every like I said, every drunk at the bar feels himself when you hear that song, I'm sure. Anyway.
What else is trending?
Jennifer Aniston, did you see that?
No, what? I watched that morning show. Well, she's on with Reese Witherspoon on Apple TV. Aaron and I were talking about that.
She revealed on the Armchair Expert podcast that she once rejected an offer to join Saturday Night Live.
Jennifer Aniston?
Feeling it was a very male-dominated show.
Okay.
She said she would have loved, check this out. She said she would have loved to join during the Gilda Radner days. Gilda Radner. Yes, yes, yes.
How about that?
But didn't feel women were treated fairly at the time, of course. So there you go.
And that's what's trending?
No. Halloween candy is trending. People are going at it.
Is there a list of the top? They
no,
usually
they're
come out
divided.
With a list.
People are divided. America's favorite Halloween candy. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
You know, I'm a gusher guy now, but I didn't used to
all
be.
All right. You know what? I'm done. You're a gusher? Gusher for Halloween candy?
Yeah, mini packs of
oh
gushers.
Oh, my goodness, Larry. Are you kidding me right now? You just killed my vibe.
Ken Rice.
Gushers.
KDK
for the babies.
KDK TV said they used to give out toast.
God. What? God,
of
all the candies that you would say,
I'm kind of a chocolate guy.
Okay,
so
you could have said that. You said gushers.
Nobody that's my new thing. What's wrong with that?
He's still in the baby's candy.
Shh, don't say anything.
I'm a candy corn kind of gal.
I'm saying nothing. Aaron.
Oh, my goodness. Why are you looking at me like that?
Who?
You. Who? Did you sleep in a tree last night? Who? It's happening.
Oh, my.
Bye, Larry.
I love chocolate.
Okay.
Many Hershey bars that do the trick.
All right. There you go.
Aaron, do you have a favorite?
Snickers.
Snickers. Mm. How about you? You didn't tell us.
I just did. You shot me down. I said I'm a candy corn kind of gal. Are you listening to me at all?
Apparently not. Are we married?
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Bye.
We have received a number of messages, so thank you for the heads up, and we'll let you know when we get it resolved. Appreciate your patience. Larry Richard, the Big K Morning Show, and every Thursday we check in with a team member from, Next Take. I should know this. I listen every morning on the way in from 1 till 5 a.m., and it's a group of motivated University of Pittsburgh students. And we welcome Jack Tofanelli, who you can see on our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Jack, good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing well. So part of what we want to do with this segment is just kind of get a pulse of what is on the minds of our college students, in your case, particularly at the University of Pittsburgh. So where do you want to start?
I mean, we can talk about what we're talking about for today's show, actually. We were recording it just before I hopped on this call. And one of our bigger stories is the Radio Award winners. That was really exciting to hear. Amy actually emailed me and told me to do it, which is awesome. And we saw that, KDK. We won the major market category, I believe, which is awesome. So we talked about that. And other than that, I have I've kind of coined a little sports segment where I just talk about what's happening in the world of sports. And yeah, other than that, just hard news. That's really what it is.
Well, before we get to, and we could talk, it's homecoming for Pitt Saturday at Acrisure. It's Pitt and NC State 3:30 kickoff. But I want to mention this Marconi Award. So last year, KDK AM, this is a national award that is equivalent to, if you're in the movie business, winning an Oscar for Best Picture. In our case, for the radio station, KDK AM, KDK FM, The Fan, won it this year. So back-to-back, AM and FM, it's an extraordinary accomplishment, and I really want to congratulate The Fan. We know that feeling from last year, and the fact that we can share this back-to-back accomplishment is a great tribute to all the team members that we have here. You know, the voices on the air get a lot of credit and complaints, but we share this all with the people of our team. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And Amy Mock is the mastermind behind working with all five of our stations, and she's been a part of putting this Next Take Pittsburgh together. Right, Jack?
Oh yeah, 100%. I have a producer meeting with her every Tuesday, and we always talk about what we want next with our show. And there's tons of people to give credit for, like PJ, Lisa, Kevin Smith, all of them. But yeah, Amy especially. She really helps us a lot. She guides us in an amazing direction where we're going right now. She gives us a lot of freedom, but keeps us organized and prepared for a show every night. So I can never thank her enough. She's awesome. And as well as every producer at KDKA.
All right, let's switch over to sports. Before we talk about homecoming, did you watch the Steelers-Bengals game at all last Thursday night?
Actually, I did not, unfortunately. I'm sorry. I'm a Packers fan.
What?
So
I'm sorry. This interview's over.
I lived in Waukesha for when I was younger. So,
well, listen to this. Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns, former Packer great, right? MVP, Super Bowl winner, beating the Steelers back there. I was there in Dallas when he did it. But there was a play where he threw a touchdown, Jack, and then Broderick Jones, one of the big linemen, 300-pounder, was so excited he shook him up and then tackled him. Did you see that on social media?
I did, and Aaron Rodgers, he looked very mad, and I think for good reason. I don't think you can knock down a fragile old man like that.
What? Fragile old man? He's 41. Now, wait. You're going to love what Aaron Rodgers, he was asked about that yesterday. Check this out.
It was right after the throw. He's coming over to me and shaking me and shaking me. And like I text him, I say, hey, man, I love your energy. I love everything you're about. But also, I'm 41. Okay? You can't be out there tackling me like that. But I love Brad. We had a couple laughs about it. And, you know, I told him, I'm getting him next. He better watch his back.
So he said, I'm getting him next. He better watch his back. I thought he handled that really well. And seems like Aaron Rodgers is the full package. He's been a leader and a diplomat and a performer on the field.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've watched him my entire childhood. So it's no question that he's going to perform at any team, whether it's in New York or in Pittsburgh or in Green Bay. So it's just awesome to see him still playing. Hopefully he continues playing after this year, but I don't think so. I don't know. I have a lot of love for Aaron Rodgers.
And apparently the Packers fans still do too. And he back at them. It's really kind of special. So let's talk about Pitt's homecoming. Acrisure's 3:30 kickoff against the NC State Wolfpack. And have you been following this 18-year-old quarterback, Mason Heinschel, for the Panthers?
Oh, of course. I mean, he's kind of the story of the season a little bit. He came in after the last quarterback got benched for, I believe, good reason, and he's been performing. I mean, he had kind of a rough game.
Uh-oh. The same thing with Dr. Mike last hour at the same exact time. So, Aaron, we are getting a lot of texts about the intermittent signal drop.
Yes.
On the air, and I wonder if that has something to do with the video link, too.
Yeah, I think everything is interconnected deeper than we can even imagine. So, you know, stay with us. We're getting it together.
Well, we'll have Jack Toffanelli on again next Thursday. And these young people have an opportunity, really. They pre-record it the day before it airs overnight, 1 to 5. And it gives them a chance. So we can say goodbye, Jack. Now I can tell everyone, you can't say I don't know Jack. So, Jack, thank you. Where'd he go? He disappeared again. There he is. I got you.
Sorry,
now.
I don't know if that was my internet or not.
Now, we're having some technical issues. That goes with the game. You have to work with audibles, Jack. When things don't go well, you got to be able to move. So, appreciate it. Are you going to homecoming?
I'm not.
What?
But I'll be at the Notre Dame game. So.
All right. Well, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you so much.
Jack Toffanelli, University of Pittsburgh, from Next Take, right here on KDKA. Overnights, weekdays, 1 a.m. until 5.
A defiant John Fetterman remains a critic of the federal government shutdown.
We must keep our government open. And if somebody wants to primary me or the party wants to vote me out, it's like I'm going to go down being honest and telling you that this is wrong.
John Fetterman spent 12-plus minutes in an interview with Sean Hannity on Fox.
Michael Keaton's name is spelled wrong on his Walk of Fame plaque. It's not his name on the star, but in the description it's spelled M-I-C-H-E-A-L.
And this is a great source of consternation for... I've done that myself. Of course, I wasn't putting it on a bronze plaque, but...
I have to hit backspace a few times a week or a month to respell Michael.
I feel bad. Nancy Polinsky Johnson, who's the mastermind, 13 years in the making, and the founder of this nonprofit, was mortified when she was told, this was after the ceremony, that they told her the next day, hey, we got a little issue, but no big deal, right?
Right. Sports reporters were asking Aaron Rodgers if Sunday night is going to be a revenge game against Green Bay, and he said, no, but it is special.
There's only a few of those kind of cornerstone franchises in the league. And Packers obviously been around for over 100 years. And Steelers been around for a long time. We've got a great history.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the most anticipated regular season games in the league.
Well, and the fact that it is in demand makes the tickets pricey.
Speaking of which, you want to know how much tickets are going for? I'm just going to just
pick. I am curious.
I'll pick... StubHub, for instance.
All right.
Which is a very popular, you know, obviously Ticketmaster, and then the Steelers, you know, regular season ticket holders, they can do the exchanges online. Pittsburgh Steelers, Sunday night, tickets popping up. I want two. Oh, you can get a cheap one in the 500 section, $213.
Yikes.
But wait a minute.
What would ordinary prices be in that section?
I think that's actually a pretty good price. I don't know exactly the, you know, face value. But look at this. How about in the Champions Club, down low, that's in the end zone facing the river, $1,149 per ticket.
Wow.
50-yard line.
For the end zone.
$757, so yeah, there's tickets available. There should be no show Sunday night, by the way.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. You're seeing exactly,
but you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns.
You
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no rain, no snow.
It'll be chilly. That's it.
Chilly. I can't imagine people spend money for tickets and then don't, if they don't sell them, give them to somebody that's going to use it. It's a great experience. This is going to be magic.
And the Packers are favored, right?
Yeah. Last look was 3.5, which is rare. For the home team, you know, under this team that's 4-2, and the Packers come into Pittsburgh. So we'll see what happens, and looking forward to it.
Wall Street saw red Wednesday as the Treasury Secretary threatened to curb exports to China that contain U.S. software. The Dow dropped 334 points. The Nasdaq fell 213. S&P slipped 35 points. The government shutdown is contributing to the national debt, now at its highest level in history. Data from the Treasury Department shows the deficit surpassed $38 trillion. It's also the fastest accumulation of $1 trillion in debt outside of the COVID pandemic, coming just 2 months after the U.S. topped $37 trillion. Many Americans can expect to receive a larger refund next tax season. New provisions under President Trump's so-called One Big Beautiful Bill added an array of new breaks, such as eliminating taxes on some overtime and tipped income. Higher earners will see the biggest boost, with the top 20% receiving 60% of the $50 billion in tax breaks. And we're talking turkey prices, that is. The star of the show for your Thanksgiving feast is seeing a significant wholesale price spike, 40% higher than last year, mainly due to avian flu shrinking flocks. The USDA says the average price per pound this season is $1.32, up from 94 cents. That's your CBS Money Watch report for this Thursday morning. I'm Jesse Mitchell, CBS News, New York.
K Morning Show, Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Paul, we've had some signal issues, as I understand, over the air, and some brief drops, if you want to call, on our FM signal in particular, 100.1. We think they've been resolved, but you can keep letting us know, but we're aware of it, and thank you for your patience. In the meantime, how many times, Paul, a week, do you think we talk about healthcare one way or another? And of course, it's the sticking point in this whole government shutdown.
Yes, it is. And it's one of the most expensive things we're paying for and of our household budgets, right? Got to be top three, top four.
Yeah. And they're talking about the expense to family health insurance. And we have an expert in that field. His name is Ethan. Is it Pickner or Picker?
Pickner.
All right. Thank you, Ethan, for your patience. And you've been doing this for a long time, right?
Yeah, 11 years.
AZ Health Insurance Brokers. So give us a reality check on the cost of health insurance. As we're in the enrollment period on top of that, there's so many unknown factors based on the government shutdown and, in our case, the state's impasse on a budget. So where are we and where do you think people are going when it comes to the cost of their family health insurance? Did I lose Ethan? We are having issues, not only, we're having some phone issues as well. So we've gone through this with a number of guests, Paul.
It's been one of those mornings.
The average cost for a family health insurance plan offered through a typical workplace, $26,993.
Now, is that the entire amount that is shared by the employee and the employer?
Yeah, it's an increase of 6%. We got Ethan back. Sorry, Ethan, we're having some phone issues too.
Oh, don't be sorry.
All right, so I mentioned the average cost for a family health insurance plan offered through the workplace, $26,993 in 2025. That's a 6% increase from a year ago, correct?
Correct.
And by comparison, workers, the inflation is around 4%?
Yeah.
And what do we anticipate in the future?
Well, we haven't seen the exact pricing for the 2026 for a lot of the plans yet. We should be seeing those any day now. But the one thing that we are noticing is it generally from year to year can range from anywhere from 2 to 7%, maybe in some instances as high as 10% there. Were you wanting to more talk about group health insurance or more so subsidies to the marketplace?
I just want to know, as families are listening right now, trying to figure out what they're going to do for the new year, trying to anticipate where these costs are going. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. I can't remember a time when there was more uncertainty during an enrollment period. Let's put it that way.
Well, so let's say there's two different categories. So if we're looking at group insurance and they get it through their employer, they still have to continue getting it through the employer with the renewal time period or with renewals coming up. Now, if they're getting it through their employer or HR department's kind of in charge of being a steward about making sure the business or the employees have an affordable option to choose from. So we're noticing on some of the groups or different things that I'm hearing is that if the costs are set to rise, they got to look at alternative options to help kind of keep the costs manageable.
What kind of alternatives are you talking about?
Yeah. What is the alternative, Ethan?
Well, let's say, for instance, if a company is offering a platinum level plan, it might be offering a gold and silver option as well to help manage the costs.
All right. Well, clearly we're all confused about the pricing. And
right.
All right, Ethan, thank you. Good luck with that insurance world you live in. God bless you.
And we didn't even touch on the Affordable Care Act increases and what's driving that as well. I mean, there's so many question marks there. We're going to learn more, though. I mean, open enrollment is what it is.
So even Ethan sound confused, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you telling families? So we've heard, and you had it on earlier this morning, that some of these plans could go up. Did I hear this right? $12,000 for a family?
Well, that's the claim that was made by Congressman DeLuzio.
Oh, okay.
And he was speaking about people who were receiving insurance through the Affordable Care Act. That's heavily subsidized. And the premiums for affordable care coverage can typically be much, much higher than what you would be paying through an employer. I know, for example, I don't know about you, but you know, for my health insurance, it's a relatively affordable, even lower than the monthly payment that people would make to be part of Medicare. So the co-pays, et cetera. But apparently one of the things that's happened with the Affordable Care Act is, if I understand this correctly, the people who designed the Affordable Care Act expected the risk pool, the number of people participating, to be much larger than it actually is. And because that pool isn't as large as they thought it was going to be, that is one of the things that's driving up the cost. You have claims to pay, and fewer people paying into the plan means higher premiums.
Isn't it true that part of that was you still get it every tax time, is that form that says you have insurance, which you would be penalized if you didn't have insurance because you had no money. I never thought that made sense.
You know, they wanted participation, and there was an attempt at it, but it didn't work out.
Well, that was the way to try to force, to your point, to get larger groups. So.
Yeah, and it's the question that I would have is, if the main problem, and I'm not saying this is it because I don't know, but on a simplistic level, if the main problem is that the size of the risk pool for the Affordable Care Act isn't big enough, then why not play with an idea like moving all those people into Medicare?
They got to figure something out.
I mean, I don't know if that's a workable solution, but I mean, it's very simplistic on the face of it. You know, I'm not a lawmaker and I don't know the intricacies, but it would seem to me that getting them into a larger risk pool would address the cost problems.
So one of the problems is many people were lured into this pool by the government, and now the government's saying, you know, one side or the other, okay, you can't do that anymore. There has to be some happy medium.
And the kicker is, Larry, is that for most people with insurance through their employers, for most of those people, that's about 150 million Americans, costs are expected to go up between 6 and 7%. Inflation's been running between 2.5%. So those numbers are even above inflation. And those are the people who are in the larger risk pools. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Well, we'll continue to sort through it. It is an enrollment period. Hard to make decisions because there's so many gray areas.
They really should call it open confusion time.
Tis the Big K Morning Show. And check out the Drive at 5. These are the top stories driving the day's news weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap. Brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Time to check in with Pittsburgh Magazine's food editor, Christy Graver. who you can see on our live stream at kdkradio.com and on our KDK Radio YouTube page, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Time for fine wine. Christy, good morning.
Yes. Good morning. It's the morning. Might as well talk about wine and spirits. We have our Pittsburgh Magazine-sponsored Wine and Spirits Festival coming up on Friday, November 7th. That's from 6 to 10. It's in the Event Center at Rivers Casino. It's really fun. I've been going the last couple times they've done it. I've written about a lot of these local distilleries and mixologists over the city over the years, so it's nice to have them all in one place. So you get to taste 200 plus wine, spirits, and seasonal cocktails. You could shop at the on-site fine wine and good spirits store. You could enjoy a buffet dinner, and you get free parking at Rivers Casino Garage. So you really can't go wrong.
Again, that's Friday, November 7th. The Event Center, we were just there with our Hometown Heroes event last Wednesday. That's a nice setup they have on the second floor if you've not been to the Rivers Casino. But I wouldn't recommend tasting 200 wines in the same evening. Make sure you have an Uber or Lyft driver.
Yeah, you don't want to gamble that way.
If you do. All right. The Dancing Gnome, I've heard about it, but now it's back.
Yeah. Dancing Gnome, it's one of the best breweries in Pittsburgh. I mean, I fell in love with it when they opened 9 years ago. So they opened at 925, and that tap room kind of closed down. They were using it for offices, but now they have this huge brewery up the street. But they reopened 925 as kind of like a little cocktail bar. So it is open from 5 to midnight, Wednesday through Sunday. And you could go and you could get cocktails. You could get signature like grilled cheese sandwiches by their food partner, Blue Sparrow. And you could get a house light beer. You know, in movies, when people walk into a bar, they say, give me a beer. Well, this is one of those. So, overall, great place. I'm glad to see it reopened because it's a beautiful spot and they redid it. And, check it out.
I got a beer for you to try. It's made by Kohler, K-O-E.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them? Out of Elwood City.
Yeah.
It's a family-owned brewery. It's been in business since 1847, but they've got an IPA called the Bulldog. And that's one of a number of, and I went to a taste testing and I wasn't driving, but they have blueberry beer. They've got this coffee beer. And of course they have regular beer, but check it out next chance you get.
I will. I love all the beer. So, I'm still a big beer nerd. Can't drink that much of it anymore, but I still love it.
All right. Pennsylvania opened 61 glamping sites in 8 state parks. Have you ever glamped?
I have. I had one of those getaway cabins in Ohio a couple of years ago. It was fun. Yeah. So there's a bathroom. There's electricity. That's what I need. So if you don't know what glamping is, it's short for glamorous camping, and is the modern way to be with nature without having to face the elements. So Shapiro's administration and the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources have partnered with Timberline Glamping Company to expand overnight stay options in 8 state parks across PA. Online reservations are now open for spring 2026 with 61 new glamping sites to choose from, with RV full service sites, yurts, rustic cabins with fireplaces, modern camp cabins with heat and bathrooms, which is my kind of thing, and safari style tents with real beds and mattresses and all that stuff. So take your pick and get out in nature, because sometimes the city's just a little bit too much with all this traffic.
My idea of camping is cheap Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah, that works.
But what's amazing is Pennsylvania, as I understand, has one of the largest public trail systems in the eastern U.S., 2.2 million acres of forest lands, 124 state parks, including Point State Park here in Pittsburgh, which they're redoing the fountain for the NFL draft. Christy Graber, read all about it, PittsburghMagazine.com. Thank you, Christy, and we'll catch you next Thursday. We're working through it, right? You haven't had any additional calls.
No, all the calls have stopped. I think we're working through it.
I'm not going to ask for any either, unless you want to call us. You're certainly welcome. 866-391-1020. That said, getting ready for the last weekend of October. And it looks like it's going to cooperate. It's going to cooperate, Aaron.
Cooperate.
Weather-wise. You know, sometimes your mind is ahead of what you're thinking.
Exactly.
That happens here quite often.
And then your lips glitch and we're good.
Sometimes your mind is behind where you should be, too. we had Clint Hurdle, former Pirates manager, who's going to be in town Sunday 2 to 4 at the Hind History Center yesterday on the show. And one of the things that stuck with me was in his new book, Hurdleisms. And by the way, he's going to a Pens game, then he's going to the Steelers game Sunday night. And I'm hoping when they show him, they got to show him at the Pens game on the big screen, the fan base will go crazy. But one of the things he said that stuck with me was, be where your feet are. In other words, especially with the distractions of the day, he really made a great case for trying to be in the moment.
Which is actually extremely difficult in the time we live in.
It is. Instead of trying to always think about what you're going to say before you fully listen to what the person you're talking to, in many cases, is a family member,
right,
a friend, a coworker. Listen to what they're saying. Lock into the moment, because you can't go backwards or forwards. You're there. So be where your feet are. And the other thing that a takeaway was, shower well.
Right. Wash it all off.
In other words, at the end of the day, you got to find ways to let it go. Because in the course of every day, not everything's going to go as planned.
Right. If you end the day breathing, it's pretty much a win, I'd say.
Yes. And that said, Sunday night, a lot of focus is going to be on Acrisure Stadium, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Green Bay Packers. And a lot of people are interested in what Aaron Rodgers has to say, because obviously he won a Super Bowl with the Packers, spent 19 years with them, and is excited to be here. But listen to what Aaron Rodgers said yesterday about his relationship with the people of Pittsburgh.
I was around Pittsburgh people my entire football career, starting with Mike McCarthy for 13 years. Mike's from Greenfield, you know, and his love for this city and how he talked about it, and playing with Dom Capers on the staff and Darren Perry and Kevin Green and Ben McAdoo in my room and Frank Cignetti and Luke Getsy, Alex Van Pelt, you know, a lot of people from this area. So I knew a lot about it just from talking to those guys. I knew what a great sports town it is, what a great tradition the Steelers have, and that was definitely a part of it. But like I said, Mike T was the first reason.
Mike T being a coach.
The one and only. Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
I love that he called him that. And I love that every single player, if they get a chance to be interviewed by anyone and they ask this player about Mike Tomlin, it's almost like they have to take a pause. It's that huge.
Yeah. You know, there's people that they won a Super Bowl every year. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's happened here 6 times. And Aaron Rodgers knows that Pittsburgh is special for other reasons. He was at the Pens game on Tuesday night.
It's a great sports town. We were at the hockey game last night, saw Sid score a goal. And, you know, Sid, Letang, and Gino all been on the team, I think, 21 years, which is amazing. I'm in my 21st season, so I know how hard it is to stick around as long as those guys have. So there's something special about the connection. You know, I'm in the suite with Mario's, you know, bodyguard Jay up there. Had a great conversation with him. Kiesel's in there as well. I played against Kiesel. That's one of the cool things that Kiesel and I were talking about last night, how in Green Bay and in Pittsburgh, there's iconic players, and they come back around, and they live in the city. And they call Pittsburgh home full time. And there's something special about that. Always said there's something in the water when you look at the great quarterbacks that have come from the area. But it's fun to be a part of this organization and the iconic Packers organization for so long, too.
Yeah, and then he talked more in detail about coming here from Green Bay.
I have a lot of great memories from my time there. A lot of great interactions with fans over the years. Living in Green Bay, living in Suamico, living in Hobart, going to Chives, being out and about, seeing people at the Piggly Wiggly when I'm shopping for groceries. I grew up there. I spent 18 years there from 21 to 39, so I'm thankful for my time there. Obviously, would have loved to
ride off in the sunset after a Super Bowl win, but that's not the way the league goes sometimes. You know, I knew the writing was on the wall when Jordan was picked, and as a matter of time, I happened to win MVP the first 2 years he was with us. But I knew at some point there would be a change, and if I wanted to play, I'd probably have to be elsewhere, so I understand the situation. You know, we live and we learn, and I have nothing but love and appreciation for the fan base, for the city of Green Bay, for the city of Suamico and Hobart, where I lived for so many years. I'm excited to see a lot of those people.
And finally, Aaron, I thought the response to what ended up being a viral video after he threw a touchdown last Thursday in Cincinnati, one of his four, Roderick Jones, 300-pound-plus lineman, was so excited he shook him up and ended up tackling him. In the moment, he wasn't real happy. However, he did talk about what happened after the video.
It was right after the throw. He's coming over to me and shaking me and shaking me. And like I text him, I said, hey, man, I love your energy. I love everything you're about. But also, I'm 41. Okay? You can't be out there tackling me like that. But I love Brad. We had a couple laughs about it. And, you know, I told him I'm getting him next. You better watch his back.
Aaron Rodgers getting ready for the Packers coming to Pittsburgh.
A defiant John Fetterman remains a critic of the federal government shutdown.
We must keep our government open. And if somebody wants to primary me or the party wants to vote me out, it's like I'm going to go down being honest and telling you that this is wrong.
Well, that's pretty much what people who voted for John could expect. And he is the outlier, along with one other Democrat in the Senate vote.
At an interview on Fox News last night, Michael Keaton's name is spelled wrong. On his Walk of Fame plaque, it's not his name on the star, but in the description, it's spelled M-I-C-H-E-A-L.
Can't they just go in there and tap it and switch them?
I don't think that's possible. No, it's bronze, right?
Yeah, it's Matthews International. They're over 100-year-old company here. I'm sure they can make a new one.
Sports reporters asked Aaron Rodgers if Sunday night's going to be a revenge game against Green Bay. He said no, but it is special.
There's only a few of those kind of cornerstone franchises in the league. And Packers obviously been around for over 100 years, and Steelers been around for a long time. We've got a great history.
Yeah, and anticipation for this game is great. We were looking at StubHub, and some of the ticket prices are astronomical. But what always baffles me is you go to a game and there's a number of no-shows, you know, and you wonder, the place is sold out to start with. People resell some of their tickets, but if you're going to spend that kind of money, why wouldn't you go or at least give somebody a ticket?
I mean, sometimes things come up. I understand that. But again, you would think that, so you would reach out and say, hey, I've got tickets. I can't go. You know, have a fun time.
The weather will be great.
Yeah, it should be in the 50s and 40s during the game.
And dry.
No precipitation.
Most importantly.
It's a prime time game. I'm expecting to see very few yellow seats in the open.
Sunday night football. Steelers, Packers.
You'll be there.
I'll be there. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Paul. Coming up, we'll check in with Marty Griffin next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.